Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Our verses this morning are going to be verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11. Chapter 2 and 1 John. Loving your brother and abiding in the light. So here's a question as you turn there, as we're getting ready. How do we know if we are walking in the light or walking in darkness? Think about that. How do we know? Can you know? Just give it your best shot. Give it a good guess, maybe. How do we know that we are walking in light or darkness? And our text this morning gives us a very, very clear, concise answer. The way we know whether or not we walk in darkness or light is by the love test. Whether or not we love our brother. Whether or not we love our brother. So last week was the moral test. How do we know that we know God? By keeping His commandments. This week we see the love test. That if we love our brother, we walk in the light. If we do not love our brother and hate him, we are walking in darkness. So John is addressing and readdressing all throughout his letter these three tests, if you will. There's a moral test, obedience, keeping the commandments, practicing righteousness. There's the doctrinal test. What do we believe about the person and work and message of Jesus Christ? And then there's the love test. Do we love God? Do we love our brother or not? So these tests he addresses and redresses all throughout the letter. And he's also addressing and readdressing three things about Jesus: the person of Jesus, the work of Jesus, and the message of Jesus. So he goes back and forth in this letter with those few things. And today, in our text, verses 7 through 11, we have the message of Jesus that they've heard from the beginning, and you have the love test. So the love test and the message of Jesus from the beginning. Let's read our text. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Then here we get to this commandment and what they've heard from the beginning, verses 9 and 10. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So, Father, grant a holy, powerful light shining among us, shining in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, that we would not be blinded to the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But that those who are in darkness before me today, that they would be awakened, that they would be quickened, that the light of eternal life in Christ would shine not only upon them, but in their hearts, that they may see and repent and believe. For those of us who have received sight from you, bless us, Father, to walk in this light and to take seriously the call, the command to love our brother. Amen. So how do we know if we walk in light or darkness? Love is the test for knowing if we walk in light or darkness. John very clearly and lovingly affectionately reminds them of a few things. He reminds them of what they've heard from the beginning. That's where John's going. He lovingly, affectionately reminds them of what they've already heard from the beginning. Now, why do I say lovingly and affectionately? He starts off this section, beloved. Beloved. Your translation might read, brethren, dearly loved ones. So with affection in his heart, with love for his readers, this apostle whom Jesus loved, this apostle is not telling them anything new. He is reminding them of what they've already heard. Isn't that much of the Christian life? Much of the Christian life is what? Not learning something new. Much of the Christian life is what? Being reminded of what we've already heard. And he says, look, I'm going to remind you of something that we've already heard from the beginning. So what is it that they've heard from the beginning? Namely, to love your brother or to love one another is the message that they've heard from the beginning. So this message they've heard from the beginning, loving one another, we see a few things in the text about it. Number one, it's old and new. That's kind of confusing, right? It's old and new, John says. How is it old? He's not writing something that they've never heard before. You see, in John's day, there are false teachers and false teachings that are claiming they have something new from the Lord. They have this special knowledge and revelation of the Lord. Therefore, they have a new teaching from the Lord. And John is saying, I'm not going to give you a special secret knowledge that these false teachers are claiming. He says, I'm not going to give you something, some new revelation that these false teachers are claiming. He says, I'm going to tell you something old. The church would do well today to remember John's word, that it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to listen to people who claim they have something new, but to go back to the old way. To go back to the old way. Scripture calls us to go back to the old paths. You see, just because something's new, maybe even if it's popular, maybe if it's even accepted by the majority of Christians, does it make it right? We need to ask ourselves those questions. We need to think hard about these things. Because there are many people today who are claiming that they have this new special revelation from God. That yes, God today still speaks and gives revelation to his people. They even call themselves prophets, bishops, apostles. The clearest, most correct way to handle all that goes on is to remember what John is saying here. Remember what you've heard from the beginning. Remember the old way. Remember what you've heard from the beginning. So how is it old? Because it's not new like these false teachers are claiming. This isn't something, love your brother and love your neighbor. This isn't something that John's making up all of a sudden. Okay? God spoke this to Israel in the Old Testament. God gave it in his law to his people that they would love their neighbor in the book of Leviticus. The great call for God's people in worship, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, Deuteronomy 6. So it's old in a sense that God has always instructed his people to love one another, to love the covenant community that they are in. But how is it new? Because he also says, it's interesting, he says, I'm writing an old commandment, verse 7. The old commandment is the word that you've heard. And then verse 8, he calls it new. At the same time, it's a new commandment that I'm writing to you. So what they've heard from the beginning, namely to love your brother and to love one another, is old and it's new. So how is it new? It's new in the sense that Jesus has exemplified and intensified and shown perfectly what this love commandment is. Did Jesus model the commandment to love one another? Did he model it? I mean, did he show it? Did he exemplify it? Absolutely. So it's new in the sense that in the person of Jesus, in the dawn of the Christian age, in the new covenant community, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's new in a sense that it becomes clearer. It's intensified in the perfect person of Jesus Christ. John is going to say this in his letter later on in chapter 3, verse 11. This is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. He says it in his second letter, 2 John 5. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one you've heard from the beginning, that we love one another. And Jesus tells his disciples in the upper room, just washing their feet, he lays down this new commandment, so to speak. John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Then here's the stipulation. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So it's old and it's new. Second, this what they've heard from the beginning, it's true in him and it's true in you. Verse 8, at the same time, it's a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you. So this message they've heard from the beginning is old and new, and it's true in him and it's true in you. How is it true in him? How is this loving one another true in the person of Jesus Christ? We just read in John 13, 34, as I have loved you, love one another. One of the scriptures that Dennis read for us, John 15, he's laying down this commandment, this divine principle that is true in him, that he has shown his disciples very clearly, and because he has shown them clearly and perfectly, he lays it upon them so that they may live it. John 15, 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, how is it true in him? Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So it's true in the person of Jesus. How? In his laying down his life for his friends, for the church, for his body, for his bride. This loving one another is true in the person of Jesus. How? Because he has laid down his life for his friends, his disciples, his body, and his church. Last week, we looked at the moral test of how do we know God, that when we keep his commandments, the love of God is perfected in us, in verse 5. So it's true in Jesus, but it's also true in us, because the love of God is being perfected in us as we obey. So it's true in him, it's true in us. How is it true in us? Because we are united to the one that has loved us and that has called us to love one another. You see, the body of Christ is united to its head. The bride of Christ is one with the groom, Christ Jesus our Lord. So through that union we have with Christ, it is true in him, it is also true in us. And this truth that is in him, loving one another, this truth that is in us, loving one another as he has loved us, it shines forth, John says. He says, listen, the darkness is passing away and the light is already shining. It's true in him, and the true light, he says, is already shining. So because of our union and fellowship with God, there's a shining forth of that love. Now, John has talked about this fellowship, right? God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Mentions that in chapter 1. to have fellowship with God and walk in the darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So because God is light, and if we're going to have fellowship and something in common with God, we walk in light. And John tells us that when we love one another, we are abiding in the light. So it's true in Him, it's true in us. As we love and as we obey, we are abiding in the light. The darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. It's old and new. It's true in Him and it's true in you. Number three, this love is expressed by the Father. It's exemplified in the Son and it's experienced through the Spirit. You see, it's true in Christ. If it is true in Christ, it is true of the entire Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This love has been expressed by the Father. Well, is there any verse that comes to mind? Are there any two verses that come to mind that you can think about that the Father expressing this love? How about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave. So He's expressing it. He so loved, He's expressing it in a way. He so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. He has expressed it. Romans 5:8. God has demonstrated, or God has commended His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God has expressed this love, God the Father specifically. He's expressed and demonstrated it how? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how He's demonstrated His love. How else has He demonstrated His love? He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. If we'll believe in Him, we'll have eternal life and not perish. So it's true in Him, it's true in us, it's expressed by the Father, it's exemplified and embodied in the Son. We've looked at John 15 already and John 13, but think about Ephesians 5 and how the Son embodies and exemplifies this love. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, as, so here's our example, walk in love as Christ loved us, gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice unto God. And this is exemplified and embodied in the Son in that He has given Himself in love for us. Pleasing sacrifice to the Father. That is love. Walk in love as, God says, as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering unto the Lord. It's exemplified in Christ as the husband to His bride in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for. You see, the Son has embodied this love. He is the example of this love. And the supreme example of the love of the Son is what? His giving up Himself for His body, for His bride, for His friends, for His church. It's expressed by the Father. It's exemplified and embodied in the Son, and it is experienced through the Spirit. It's experienced through the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Doesn't take us long to find out where love comes into that, right? Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, It's experience. It's true in him. It's true in us. We experience the truth of that. How? By the fruit of the Spirit working forth in our lives. As Christ loved and gave himself up, showing that love, so we are to walk in that love. And the fruit of the Spirit that he is working in us to will and do for his good pleasure is what? Love. And a bunch of other things too. But it's love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Therefore, it's experienced through the Spirit. Romans chapter 5, we have another description and image and picture of this experiencing of this love by the Spirit. Romans 5, 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. So it's expressed by the Father in the cross. He so loved the world, he gave. It's exemplified, it's the supreme example in the Son where he gave himself for his friends, his church, his bride. It is experienced by the Spirit that the love of God is being poured out in our hearts through the Spirit, Romans 5, 5, and that the fruit of the Spirit, God abiding in us, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So it's old and new. It's true in him and you. It's expressed by the Father, exemplified in the Son, experienced by the Spirit. Number six, love is defined in the Scriptures. It's defined in the Scriptures. We don't have to guess. Isn't that good? We don't have to guess what love is. Now, many people change the definition of love. But God has clearly given us a definition of love in his word that is perfect, true, and good. Love is defined. It's experienced by the Spirit, but it's defined in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Love is patient. And love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but love rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things, and love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Expressed by the Father, exemplified in the Son, experienced by the Spirit, defined in the Scriptures, and last, number seven, love is distinct among the brethren. Love is distinct among the brethren. Verse 10, 9 and 10. Whoever says, back to our text, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So love is distinct among the brethren. God, inspiring John via the Holy Spirit, writing this, gives a clear-cut distinction among those who belong to God and those who do not belong to God. Those who walk in light and those who walk in darkness. And the distinction of the one walking in light and walking in darkness is the one who walks in light loves his brother. The one who walks in darkness hates his brother. There's all kind of stumbling there, he says. You see, so love is distinct among the brethren, as distinct as light shining and darkness passing. Because he says that earlier. Now, you can't get more distinct than that, right? Darkness passing away. Light already shining. Like, they're not going to both be kind of mixed in and you get confused whether or not it's light or darkness. It's a clear distinction, light and darkness. Darkness passing away, the light is shining. The love that God calls us to and that God works in us is as distinct as darkness passing away and light shining. As noticeable as it is for you to look outside and say, huh, it's daytime. That's how distinct it is to call a person who walks in the light a brother and a sister because they love the brethren. They love them. Or they hate the brother and therefore show that they are in darkness. So love is distinct among the brethren. Those who hate are in darkness. They walk in darkness. They do not know where they are going. They are blind. Therefore, they stumble. Do you see that description? He goes over and over and over and over and over again to describe the one very distinctly. The one who hates his brother, what? Is in darkness, walks in darkness, stumbling around, blind. They don't have any idea where they're going. Pretty distinct. Pretty distinct. But oh, the one who loves. The one who loves the brother. Abides and walks in the light. And what does he say? There is no occasion for stumbling in them. Well, what does that mean? Think about it. For the brother and sister who is loving their brothers, there's no cause for stumbling in that man. Meaning, there's no slander against that man. You can't bring up a case among a brother and sister. There's no cause of stumbling in them when they love the brother. It's clear evidence, case shut. No slander against the brother or sister who loves. They show that they are in the light. They show that they are in the light. I love that he says, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. You've got this picture of the one in darkness, blind eyes. They don't have a clue where they're going and what's happening to them. They're just in darkness and they're just stumbling around everywhere. But the brother who walks in light, the brother who loves the other brothers, he can see. He knows where he's going. Clear distinction. You see, there must be a distinction among believers with our love for one another. There must be clear evidence with no slander and no occasion for stumbling in us. A distinction of believers for other believers is the thought here. Now, I want to get specific in the text. We are to love our neighbor. True? That's an easy one. We are to love our neighbor. True? Okay. We are to love our enemies. True? Heard that from Dennis and Manny. But what's very interesting is that in this text, there's a distinction. Love your brother. Your brother. Your sister. Those born of God. The church, congregation, and assembly of the living God. We must have a love for the church. For the church. Yes, love your neighbor. Yes, love your enemy and obey what Jesus says. Yes, but love your brother and your sister. Now, this is clearly evident in the life of a believer. And I want to leave you with this thought. Love in the believer should be progressing and growing all the days of our life. So think about this. The older you get, the more loving you should be. The older you get, the more gentle and less grumpy you should be. Huh. As we progress in our walk with the Lord, and as we grow in our love for one another, we should be more gentle and less grumpy. We should be pleasant and not ornery. Right? So we have the love test. The love test. Do we love the brothers, sisters, or do we just gripe and grumble and complain and just ornery? And then maybe you're in darkness. Maybe so. Because you just can't get around the text. You see, if you miss 5, 6, and 7, experienced through the Spirit, defined in the Scriptures, distinct among the brethren, if you miss these in the love test, you're in darkness and you're not in light. But the good news is this, that you can flee from the darkness and you can cling to the light of the world who has expressed, exemplified His love for you, that He gave Himself up for you, that He might have a bride whom He loves, and that we should also walk in love. Father, let it be by the power of the Holy Spirit that we truly love the brethren. We love and bear with patience, kind, gently, that we love one another, because love bears all things. It evidences that we are yours. Let it be all throughout this congregation. Let it be in me. Let it be in us, for the glory of Thy name. For people will know we are Christians by our love. In Jesus' name we pray.